thinking of getting married, the average cost of a wedding for two is just about $28,000. Thinking about getting a divorce, the average cost for two is a little over $30,000. But hold on, that doesn't take into effect child support, alimony, time spent now in the future, trying to figure out housing for your kids, travel with your kids, and if they don't live in your house, it even gets harder. And about 20 other things you'll be paying for. So think about it. It's actually easier, cheaper, and more rewarding to stay married. And that's where we're finishing today on Affair Proof Your Wedlock. The Faith Up Monday Morning Killer. I don't know about you. I love Mondays. I love just looking at the week going, okay, my attention level is on high. God, how do you want to use me? What do you want to do? It's amazing. Coming off an amazing Sunday, we had one of my favorite prophet, Tom Stammen, evangelist, came to our church, delivered a great word, and really spoke into so many people's lives. It's always fun when someone who's not aware of the prophetic gets called on by Tom and he starts to read their mail. And they kind of like look around like, all right, who told him? Who told him? I've never been here before. Always good to see God is still moving in and through the church. And yes, if you are in the South Metro area, our church, Hill Spring, is in New Prague, which from Lakeville is about 15 minutes. It's worth the drive and you don't have to wear a mask. Don't tell anybody I said that. Okay, so let's get to the point here. The Affair Proof Your Marriage has had a lot of buzz. And I, again, just checked the email before I got online. I can't always get back to everyone immediately, so I apologize. I will, however, answer everyone's email. But if I don't email you back within a day or two, don't panic. It's not that I don't like you. There's really only three people out there I don't like who are listeners, and you know who you are. I'm just kidding. But I will get back to you. And finally, if you need a website, Tony Herman, the coolest cat on the net, his company Webstix, WebStix.com, he will do you right. Amazing stuff. So now, going all the way back to our very first podcast on Affair Proof Your Wedlock, I want to give you the number one reminder about this whole series, and that is this. Affairs don't start because you want sex. Look, we can see a woman and Satan can even drop thoughts into our mind where we start thinking about an affair or sex, but the truth is that's not where an affair starts. An affair starts because your emotional needs are not being met. So when you stop to think about how did I get to this point where now I'm thinking about having an affair with this person, you have to backtrack and realize it stopped, or it should have stopped, when you started to feel emotionally drawn to that person. But when it starts to get close to where there's a danger zone, you need to understand that there are three stages of marriage where you can fall big time when you start to feel like there's no emotional connection with your spouse. And yes, we talked about how the 90% of most affairs start out when your wife is pregnant or just recently had a child. But these are also three stages of marriage that will catch you off guard where you can have an affair not realizing that your emotional needs aren't being met. And that's the problem. A lot of times we as men, because we're dumb, we don't realize our emotional needs aren't being met. We just think marriage is bad. My wife doesn't love me. We put it into all these words, but if you stop and go, you know what? I'm not feeling admired. I'm not feeling encouraged. I'm not feeling appreciated. These emotional needs, when they're not met, it's danger. Step into the danger zone. So these are three danger zones or stages of marriage that can lead to an affair. Number one, the empty nester. You would think if a couple has survived 15, 20, 25, maybe 30 years of marriage, there's no way they're going to have an affair. But the truth is, empty nesters have one major common flaw that leads to an affair, and that's this. The only thing you have in common are your kids. You're actually total strangers, and when the kids leave, all of a sudden you realize there's no connection. your emotions were connected to each other through your kids. And once the kids are out of the house, you realize you don't have that emotion connection between each other. Your child was actually a conduit that caused those emotions. And when the child is out, you realize, I don't have anything in common. And all of a sudden, the kids leave and the void is gargantuan. It's like the giant, the elephant in the room, you might say. No one talks about it. And all of a sudden, someone comes along in either your life or your spouse's life and begins to tickle the emotions. And that's where it starts. The emotional roller coaster downhill swoops and eats you alive. And you walk away after maybe 30 plus years of marriage. And you almost can't put your finger on it because you haven't been warned. Number two, intimacy avoidance. What does that mean? That's a marriage that have lots of action. They've got things in common. They do things together. But really, both of you aren't intimate. Sure, you talk a lot. You do things together. You garden together. You surf together. You bike together. You cook together. All these things. But the truth is this. You're not honest with each other about where you're really at. Maybe your spouse can't talk about the things that hurt them from the past and how they feel it affects their marriage now. And maybe another spouse can't talk about how they are intimidated by the neighbor that's so good looking or the boss that that spouse works with. There's just issues of the heart, hurts, fears, foibles that you can't bring to the table and talk about, you can't be intimate about. And because of that, guess what? You don't truly connect. And if you're not intimate with who you really are and what you're really dealing with, like fearing or your deepest, darkest secrets, well, guess what? One of the spouses comes to a point where they realize, I'm drowning and I'm overwhelmed from a lack of intimacy. And then all of a sudden, someone comes along and tickles their emotions and they feel, oh, intimacy. They feel connection. Is it? No. It's just there's been a void there for so long, they confuse that emotion with intimacy. I don't have this with my spouse. My spouse doesn't understand. And this person who's tickling my emotions will solve my problems and make life complete and heal me. And it never works. Because you take your void into the next marriage. And that void becomes voracious. It becomes even bigger. Next one. The no-conflict marriage. This is where you stuff everything down. You have no fights. You ultimately just end up being roommates. I hear couples come in for premarital counseling all the time. And I say, well, what do your parents do when they fight? When you're growing up, what did they do? And so many times kids go, my parents never fought. I'm like, yeah, they did. No, they didn't. Yes, they did. No, I never heard them fight. And I'd say, okay, I challenge you this. You go home and ask your parents if they fought. They will come back, and if they say, yes, they did fight, they just didn't do it in front of us kids, I'd say, well, your parents failed because they should have done it in front of you so you could learn how to, you know, fight fair with your spouse and learn from watching your mom and dad how to deal with conflict. Or they come back and they say, no, my parents never fought. And I go again, they're liars. They did fight. They just didn't fight face to face. They fought inside their heads. Look, guys, you know what I mean, right? You get in your car in the morning and you drive to work and you fight with your wife in your head. If you're like me, I drive 45 minutes to work. That's a 45-minute fight with my wife in my head. She's not even there, and I'm fighting with her. But it's no-conflict marriage. The no-conflict marriage, you stuff everything down. You have no fights. You become roommates. But all of a sudden, someone comes along, ignites your emotions, and boom. You fall into the emotional roller coaster, which leads into a sexual affair. So here's my final warning when it comes to sexual temptation or emotional temptation. Nowhere in Scripture will you see a verse that says, when being tempted sexually, you should pray more. When being tempted sexually, you should fast and pray. When being tempted sexually, you should read Scripture or go to church more or memorize the Bible. Whether you're being tempted sexually or emotionally, there's only one solution in Scripture, and that is this. Run. Detach yourself immediately from that situation. Detach from text, Facebook, emails, everything, and run. Are you being tempted emotionally? Are you being tempted sexually? Run from hell. Don't run like hell. Run from hell, because that's where you're headed. And run to your spouse and get honest with her and tell her that you both need to work on your marriage, that you both need to work on feeding each other's emotional needs. Do that, stay best friends, and you can get through anything. This is Garth Heckman at the David Lyons. Thanks for checking us out. Thanks for rating the podcast and sharing the podcast. And until tomorrow, keep your pants up and keep slaying giants.